Chapter 9. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Scurrying across the hotel with a goal in mind, lost in the mazes was a small, egg-shaped creature. With miniature legs and arms, he found it incredibly difficult to figure out where he was exactly headed. The boss's instructions were clear. Slit their throat as they slept. Who, though? He tried to recall the name. It didn't matter, really. Just do it. The egg scrambled its way into a vent to roll itself along the metal. Whenever there was an occupied room, he would stop and peer down the grate, disappointed to see that the subject inside was most definitely awake. A rather lively LED-lit room, another that seemed accompanied by a housekeeper with a massive bug collection. His instructions were to find the sleeping person. Making haste, he continued to search fervently, peering through the iron bars in pure curiosity. And, alas, a dark, desolate room, with no doubt a body bundled underneath some bedsheets. Excitement batted at his shell as he slowly pushed the cover open to swing himself down into the room. He landed with a quiet thump, looking up at the bed that seemed much too tall for him. He scurried along the blankets, small, tiny black hands clutching at the maroon sheets, pushing himself up onto the mattress. Stumbling, the egg got himself together, glancing at the sleeping body near him. With a grin, he slowly pulled out a pocket knife, approaching the person slowly. With a shuffle, his target laid on their back, tilting their chin and exposing that perfectly untouched neck. He walked on top of their stomach, pushing the knife forward, head racing with adrenaline. Here it was. It was so easy. Master would most definitely be pleased with his work. And here it goes. The execution of crack! Charlie woke up with a jolt, clutching at her bedsheets with tension squeezing at her muscles. Her heart pattered against her ribs at the loud interruption. The darkness was enveloping her room tremendously, making it difficult to see. The sleepiness blurring the corners of her vision. She flipped her eyelids a few times before noticing that there was something demented and broken before her sight. A white eggshell, she could guess, with a suit and dripping a yellow ooze. A stickiness felt prominent on her cheek, and she assumed it was from the creature before her. Something weighed at her chest, and she glanced to see an unsheathed pocket knife pointed towards her jugular. Sweat beaded at Charlie's forehead in anxiety. Then, that familiar sound, static, buzzing near her. Charlie properly looked to her right to see Alistair's silhouette gazing down at her, smile closed, holding the goopy mess. His fingers had been buried inside of it. Alistair clenched his hand into a fist, and the egg-looking mess dissipated into shadows. He then whipped his hand backwards to fling the yolk off it. Without a word, he turned, initially trying to leave. Wait. Her shaky fingers reached out to tug on the cuff of his sleeve. His ears perked underneath the light from the window, glowing eyes turning to look at her in curiosity. Immediate shame crossed her. What was she doing? What just happened? Did Alistair just save her from a presumed assassination attack? Charlie tore her hand away as if she touched a burning stove and cradled her wrist. She couldn't bear to look at him properly. Was this just a dream? Her heart raced. Alistair turned, contemplative, studying her tucked body before leaning down and cradling the side of her head. He tilted it to the side gently and pushed his head closer. Their eyes and noses were so close, Charlie could feel her heartbeat in her ears, watching him with wide eyes. He opened his mouth, revealing his reddish tongue, and gently licked it across her sticky cheek. She winced and pushed her face further from him, but he followed, finishing his lap with a hot pant. That was when she felt it, a feverish sensation crossing her body. Charlie wriggled underneath her blankets uncomfortably, grasping at her blankets, her cheek now cold with the stream of dampness that fell upon it. Alistair moved his hand to instead grasp her neck and whisper against her skin.
"Careful what you ask for, Charlie."
The clawed tip of his finger traced the bump in her neck tauntingly. With that, Alistair peeled away from her, gentle taps of his footsteps growing further and further away until the door clicked. Charlie stared at the ceiling and felt a coldness that lingered in the air. Drops of yellow remained on her sheets, and she sat up, locked in her foggy mindset of confusion. Her fingers moved to graze across her touched cheek. She winced, noticing the temperature of her face was pretty high. Ba-dump. She then smeared her fingers towards her lips to idly play with them, panic setting in. Ba-dump. What just tried to kill her? Charlie glanced down at the pocket knife and picked it up, rubbing her thumb along the handle. With a hard pill to swallow, she mentally confessed she was grateful Alistair was there to save her.
You look like shit.
Charlie sat at the dining area, in her pajamas, holding a plate full of donuts. She properly glowered at the fallen angel who walked in to grab something to drink. The morning after was a bit of a drag.
I know,
she grumbled, not getting much sleep after the attempt on her life. She smashed a pink-frosted donut into her mouth. Vaggie watched her with interest, a bottle in her hand as she approached the table to look down at her.
What happened? An egg tried to kill me.
Silence fell upon them. It would be interrupted by her chewing the frosted dough inside of her mouth, staring ahead lifelessly.
An egg?
Charlie nodded.
You're telling me an egg tried to kill you? Last night,
Charlie said while waving a donut, her mouth full of food and muffling her words.
Alistair got rid of it for me.
It was very kind of him to do that. Vaggie raised an eyebrow, disinterested.
Uh-huh. You're still on that whole shtick of believing he's a good guy? He can be.
She swallowed with a harsh gulp, smacking her lips and glancing at his officer. Charlie eyed her, noting the disbelief, and sighed.
I know he has his moments. He already has a death count starting. But really, I mean...
Charlie shrugged.
I can see a lot of potential good in him. Just a few fixer-uppers, but he has a lot of passion.
Vaggie rubbed at her face. She was clearly annoyed. With that, she sat before Charlie at her table, clasping her hands together as if ready to give a speech. Charlie blinked at her slowly.
There is a lot wrong with your reasoning.
Her eyebrow twitched.
Let's think about this carefully. He's only playing along with you, Princess, because you are giving him something he wants. Do you ever stop and think about the day he might get bored with you, or you're no longer useful to him?
Her heart stopped for a second. Charlie was about to put a donut in her mouth, but hesitated, a tremble returning to her hands. What was that? What did she just say?
He's so charming for a reason. It benefits his cause. If he was outwardly saying everything he wanted from you, you would decline. He's playing nice because you are nice for his conquest of hell.
Vaggie leaned back, seemingly self-satisfied with Charlie's dead expression.
It's time to wake up. You can return him now, and I can go back to my boring job.
Return him now? Charlie placed her donut back on the plate and stared at the porcelain. It glistened back at her, small rose patterns along the edge.
And then what?
She asked, her voice weak.
I put him back. Then what happens to me? Excuse me?
That was it, she realized. A world where she snapped her fingers and Alistair returned back to his eternal banishment of getting his powers drained and used to benefit elsewhere. Whatever Lucifer had with him would remain that way, unfinished, unresolved, unseen. Charlie would remain in the pride ring, go back to her father with her tail tucked in between her legs, and confess that she was wrong. And then what?
She could continue to live her life in captive obedience. Or she recalled going out with Alistair, meeting Rosie, learning more about the world she was told not to bother with. She learned more about her people this way than she ever did through her father's lectures. Charlie could see improvement through angel dust. She could see potential through Husk, even Vaggie if she wanted to bother. And yet, she could return Alistair and focus on those three. Perhaps Father would be kind enough to grant her that meeting regardless. But she had been getting quite used to Alistair's company. His comforting words and touch, even if he had a few unsettling moments, he would always make up for it by doing something nice for her. They were in this together. Who would be there with her if she disposed of him so carelessly?
If I put him back, then I'd be alone.
Vaggie frowned.
Don't tell me he's already in your head like that. Are you that easy?
Charlie sunk into her seat.
You don't get it. I need him. You don't. You're the fucking princess, for heaven's sake. You could do whatever you wanted.
The only thing she had ever wanted was not something she could demand of anyone. Charlie watched as Vaggie's eye flickered to study her face before groaning in annoyance.
Sheesh.
The fallen angel sighed before getting up.
You're a lost cause.
Irritation had her bend her fingers towards her palm.
Well, Vaggie, I can tell that you've never wanted something before in your life, evidently, with the way you parade your pessimistic ventures.
Charlie bit and watched as Vaggie's expression dropped.
But just because you feel like you don't have any fucking purpose doesn't mean you need to project that shit onto me.
Vaggie stared at her in shock. Immediate guilt had taken a rock-like form in her stomach. It was like she had just been doused in cold water.
I'm sorry,
she whispered.
I didn't mean to say that.
Vaggie scoffed and whipped around to storm out of the kitchen.
Vaggie, wait!
Charlie reached out. However, she was already gone.
How could she say something so mean?
Charlie pushed her plate away, appetite gone, and clutched her hands near her chest. She was meant to build a safe space, and there she was, ruining it as always. Her eyes felt hot, and she gave a quiet huff of misery, clasping her face in her hands. Everything was slipping beyond her. Was she really just defending Alistair in such a way? Get it together.
Oh, darling, you look so upset, poor thing.
That familiar coo beside her, Charlie didn't even need to look. She didn't bother.
Don't let that girl get to you.
Charlie shook her head, fingers twisted into hers to pull them away from her face. She sniffled, a heaviness in her chest, blinking up at Alistair. He pushed her bangs away from her wet eyes and wiped at her tears.
I'm most pleasantly surprised at you backing me up there, princess. Why, I might think you like me, too.
You heard everything?
Alistair grinned. Charlie didn't bother to decipher the meaning behind his face. She only looked at her abandoned donuts.
People don't seem to like you that much, Alistair.
He chuckled.
A given. After all, they cannot comprehend me.
His hand moved to rub circles against her shoulder. The touch was nice.
Does that bother you?
Does what bother me?
Alistair softly blinked at her.
That your friends don't like me.
She shrugged.
It would be nice if everyone got along, you know.
I often enjoy your dreamy aspirations.
Alistair waved his hands playfully, exaggerating his voice.
But I'm sure you know the very simple fact that sometimes personalities are disastrous when trapped in a building together, like a bunch of starving lions tearing each other up for a scrap of meat.
Charlie felt a little defeated.
Oh, but dear, don't let anyone tell you you're wrong for wanting the best of things. Someone like that Jane.
He rotated his jaw.
Well, she's never bothered to improve her life in the slightest, which is so unlike you, who wants to improve everyone's quality of life.
He planted his hands on his cane to lean on it casually.
I'm sure she's quite jealous of your optimistic tune.
Once more, Alistair was comforting her. She gave a quiet chuckle, catching him by surprise.
I'm supposed to be making you feel better, Alistair. I'm your sponsor.
Alistair simpered.
Oh, nonsense, Charlie. You give me quite a show.
That struck a chord in her. Charlie paused, finding her light behavior dissipating at one of Vaggie's statements earlier. Do you ever stop and think about the day he might get bored with you, or you're no longer useful to him? Oh, that was a terrifying prospect she had not bothered to explore before. A fluttery feeling of despair littered at her stomach and threatened to make the donuts come back out. She didn't know how much she would care about that sort of topic before, but it was undeniable now.
Hmm?
Alistair hummed, breaking her out of her trance.
Huh?
Is something on your mind?
Charlie cleared her throat.
No. Sorry, I'm just tired.
She gave him a weak smile to deter him from the truth. She found the opportunity to change the topic.
What was that thing trying to get me last night? And why?
Alistair took a moment. He looked at her intently before taking her lead on the conversation.
It was someone's little servant. Those little creatures are rather stupendously idiotic, so I wouldn't worry your pretty little head too much.
Would it be that one guy on the television?
His eye twitched.
No. Well...
He paused.
Indirectly, most definitely. I don't think you are his target, Princess, so don't fret. He's just trying to get me.
Alistair grinned, showing off his wide arrangement of sharp teeth.
But I'm indestructible.
For some odd reason, she wasn't aware why. She gave a quiet chuckle at his words. Charlie nodded and stated,
I like the confidence.
Alistair's cane warbled static-like noises.
I am glad.
He perked up. Charlie glanced at him, the interaction confusing her.
Ahem.
He cleared his throat.
But it's only because I have the support of the fanciful princess.
He moved to hover their faces near each other.
Most certainly.
They stared at each other, and Charlie felt blood rush against her face. His dark aesthetic, somehow much similar to her light one, she admired. Charlie glanced at the reflective beads that were attached to his monocle, his fluffy ear tufts, his side-swept hair. He was always well-groomed, put together, and proud. Ba-dump. The phantom sensation of his tongue against her cheek haunted her. The image of that very tongue dipping into the macaron to lick against the middle, reminders of his fingers that taunted her throat, his body weight on hers. She had never felt this inclined to someone before. Not since... Charlie winced and leaned back against her chair, staring at her plate.
Should we be worried about more... eggs?
There will most definitely be more...
He shifted his hand to find the proper word.
Issues. But I will take care of everything.
She hummed, taking his word for it. Charlie looked at him and smiled, unable to fight it.
Thank you, Alistair. Are you sure there's nothing I can do?
Alistair shook his head.
I'll let you know if that time ever comes.
Okay. And don't forget, we have your session at curfew.
Charlie said, poking a finger in his direction. With a quiet chuckle, Alistair placed his fist around Charlie's finger, then raised it near his lips. Wherever he touched, started to burn, she realized, her heartbeat skyrocketing as she couldn't get enough of it.
Of course, my darling. I could not forget.
His thumb trailed against the bottom of her finger, pressing against the bones inside. As much as she hated to admit it, he really had her attention whenever he wanted it. Charlie swallowed, allowing him to press her finger against his mouth, feeling his gentle skin. His eyes were half-lidded when gazing down at her, seemingly taking in the picture he beheld. Charlie felt a little embarrassed. She had just realized she was still in her pajamas, her bunny slippers, the messy, undone hair behind her. She instinctively crossed her arm over herself to hide from his peeping gaze.
Well, I'll let you get ready for the day, then,
Alistair commented, noting her behavior.
Right. I need to get ready,
Charlie said, shooting up from her seat and instinctively pulling her hand away from Alistair.
I'll see you later.
As she rushed out of the dining hall, she could only hear Alistair's faint radio whispering to him.
No, Angel, I'm not allowing a stripper pole in the lobby.
Angel Dust groaned, lax over the bar's stools, empty beer bottles scattered along the corner. Charlie was seated at the very end, a cheek planted in her hand as he watched him be dramatic. She had initially approached the two in the lobby to ask what she could do to improve the place. Of course, Angel's idea was lackluster.
Princess, think about it. Think! You could make some serious bank by implementing a strip club in here.
Charlie shook her head.
We renounce sin here. I feel like that would, encourage it. Well, can we at least do something?
Angel fixed his posture upwards and clicked his fingers against the bottle.
It's a bit of a bore here, is it not? Feel like you could really make this place bustling if you do really anything?
That was a tempting idea. Husk piped up from behind the desk.
You could do some sort of fancy event. You know people, don't you, Princess?
Charlie looked at him, deep in thought, before straightening her back.
Wait, you guys are actually onto something.
She grinned.
That's right. We could host some sort of gala to promote the place. A banquet.
She could see it now. All the fancy-dressed folk, chatting amongst each other, Charlie guiding them around and showing exactly what she's aiming for. Perhaps they would love to support her cause. Join in. She might have to scavenge through some upperclassmen to get this to work. Maybe pull a few strings with her father. She grinned. Her father. Her father could finally come over during this event and see the progress she's done.
Yes! Oh my gosh, you two are geniuses! Pure geniuses!
What did we do?
Angel asked Husk. However, their potential conversation drowned out as she rushed upstairs to get to her room. She slammed the door open and began to scribble down ideas. Charlie felt like she was on fire. The passion from before had returned. She could really make this the real opening, really get the word out. Why didn't she think of an event similar to this sooner? Well, she's been a little occupied, but this is ideal. Vicious with her scribbling, she was sure to jot down all the specific details. She definitely wanted Rosie there, along with her father, perhaps some other overlords that weren't violent. It wouldn't be massive, but something to get people talking, to change a couple minds at the very least. Open event? Charlie tapped her pen on her chin. The overlords could invite whoever they wanted, she decided. However, not a basic public event, as hell could get rowdy. Perhaps she would have Rosie spread the word. Alistair, too, since he seemed to have a few connections that surprised even her. Charlie could have her father reach out to other high-functioning families. If her father would bother, she had to remember that. Something rested on her shoulder. Charlie glanced over in alarm to notice that it was Alistair's chin.
What are we doing?
he asked, looking at her papers in interest. Charlie smiled.
Husk and Angel had a great idea. We should hold a banquet here.
Alistair raised an eyebrow.
So I see,
he said, pointing a finger towards her father's name.
And he's on the list?
It'd be nice, right?
She watched as he closed his eyes in profound irritation.
I don't really know what happened between you two, but remember, you promised to help.
Yes, I remember, Charlie,
Alistair said, clearing his throat and stepping away from her.
Of course.
His eyes averted to the wall, and she felt a little sad at his dejected expression.
What's wrong?
Alistair glanced at her. He eyed her before shaking his head.
No, we will host this event, and you can invite whoever you wish, dear.
I don't have to invite my father,
he chuckled.
No, it's quite all right. I'll live. I can't wait to show him how far we've come. When do you plan on hosting this?
Perhaps next weekend?
Charlie wondered. It was still relatively early in the week. That would be plenty of time to prepare. Holding his chin in deep contemplation, Alistair muttered,
That'll do.
He seemed so distracted. She was curious about him. However, he noticed her scrutiny and summoned his cane to lean on it casually.
So, our session, princess. It's late in the night.
Oh, she hadn't even realized that time passed her by so swiftly. Charlie grabbed the papers, patting them against the table to straighten them out properly, and shoved them into one of her drawers with a click. She smiled and bounced out of her seat.
Onwards, my good man,
she said, as cheery as ever, hearing Alistair's radio rumble at her behavior. They both moved towards her office, which had been cleaned up pretty nicely, she'd say so herself. With quite a few paintings hanging from the walls, potted plants adorned on the sides, her seat across from the luxurious couch she had worked hard to get after bantering with the furniture shop owner, it was ideal. The rug had an intricate diamond pattern in its red lace, the candles giving a moody lighting. She didn't really plan for this place to be used during the night, but Alistair insisted.
Sit,
Charlie said, closing the door behind him and taking her seat swiftly. With a notebook and pen, she was rather excited to have a session with Alistair. She was learning to like his company quite tremendously. Alistair chuckled, moving to sit on the sofa before her, ticking up a brow at her.
You're in high spirits tonight, my dear.
I'm just...
excited to talk to you, she wondered, giving him a once-over before mentally shaking off that thought.
Happy to get some progress done.
Right.
He crossed his legs.
Right,
Charlie repeated, patting her fist against her chest to get rid of the bubble that lurched at her throat. She tapped the 60-minute timer beside her and opened her book. There was the same short, vague list from earlier.
How have you been feeling lately, Alistair?
He glanced up at the ceiling, thinking.
Well,
he drawled.
Alistair
glanced to the side, seemingly at a loss for words. Charlie blinked. He usually knew what to say. The silence was drawn out for quite a long moment.
Nothing bad.
He waved his hand once, seeing her frown.
I guess I'm just learning, darling. I didn't know I still had some of that to do.
Charlie tilted her head.
Learning? Like what?
My limits.
Quite a vague answer. Charlie glanced down at her page and found herself unable to write anything that would relate to that.
Limits regarding what exactly?
You see, my dear, I've lived in solitary for quite a while,
he said.
Having to bond with other creatures within the same estate as me is difficult.
Alistair was a little bitter with his smile.
Ideally, I find myself dreaming of a world where it's less... messy.
Charlie nodded.
I see. Are you the introverted type? Alistair sighed.
You know, I really hate labels.
She winced.
Okay,
To call yourself anything but your name and such is quite inept, I believe.
Alistair continued.
You could turn any dial of yours by a decimal and get something completely new. Various sounds to be found throughout the network.
He would extend his arms outwards.
And I suppose I am hearing new music.
Charlie looked at him with wide eyes. An admittance of change? Something new? She carefully wrote that in her book.
Right. What do you think the new music sounds like?
Alistair grinned.
It's quite domestic, I believe.
He rubbed his finger along his bottom lip.
The type of song to reminisce about some sort of romantic tale. I used to believe the concept was cheesy. The idea of sharing a life with someone troublesome. Who knows what spats you could get into?
He bit out, evidently annoyed.
All I've ever heard has been rather bleak stories of families and other things, for that matter. I've always been too busy with my own concepts that I never really bothered to hear others. It was all the same boring, unoriginal garbage. You see, Charlie, dreams are futile in this fiery pit of failure.
She was trying to understand what he was hinting at her. To pick apart his verbal carnage was something she was also learning to do, slowly but surely.
Alistair, do you have a dream?
He blinked slowly at her.
It's a rather bleak thing, I'm afraid.
Anything safe to share with me?
With that, she smiled at him, warm and genuine.
Safe in here, you say? Never to escape this room?
Of course.
Alistair hummed, closing his eyes for a second. His shoulders bounced as if he was quietly laughing at something he thought of.
I want to be completely released from any sort of chains.
Charlie's throat felt dry. He looked at her and she felt cornered.
I want to feel all of me again,
Alistair said.
I want to continue what I was doing before, most ardently.
Charlie frowned.
And what did you do before?
He tilted his head to the side.
I destroy filth. Not because of anything in particular.
He twitched his fingers.
I just like to do it. A lot of these folks do not deserve to be above anything. Surely you understand, Charlie.
She anxiously bounced her leg.
Understand what?
That a lot of these people, Alistair grinned, simply do not deserve to have a second chance at life, to continue their agonizingly mediocre crimes.
She opened her mouth. However, he interrupted her.
Valentino deserved what he got, my dear. You would agree the same. Let's think about it clearly. Sure, of course, Extermination Day can target the oh-so-innocent children. How cumbersome for you.
He dramatically edged his tone.
But some of us find it most pleasing to witness.
Charlie's eyebrows twitched.
And what happened in your life before, Alistair, that made you so keen on death?
Alistair turned rather blank.
Why do you believe you can behold this role of judgment?
I don't do the judging.
He placed his fingers across his chest.
Let me be clear, Princess. As I've stated before, I'm an executioner. A rather effective one at that. You would be surprised who would dare entrust me with their personal whims to eliminate.
Confused, she tilted her head.
You were like a hitman?
More or less.
He shrugged.
I don't like static labels such as that. Hitman, serial killer, assassin. Oh, so boring.
But you like to be called an executioner.
He chuckled.
It's got a nice ring to it. It's final.
So you like it when things make you sound more efficient?
Charlie wondered.
Indeed. And that I am. Efficient. Give me a name, and I'll get it done.
Charlie leaned back and rubbed at her face. This has taken a dark turn, she uttered. I would like to know more about you as a person, Alistair, not your actions. She paused. I see that you know Rosie. How did you two meet? Alistair hummed.
It was at an overlord meeting. She's a rather classy woman, and easily I bond with those who are such.
He seemed careless about the topic.
It's better company.
So you like class, she said. Unlike Angel Dust, who seems to challenge those concepts?
His eyebrow twitched.
It's unruly.
And how'd you meet Husk?
Alistair's eyes flicked in her direction swiftly after staring at different parts of the room in supposed boredom.
During my earlier days, I had quite a knack for Hell's new concepts,
he said.
Overlords, soul deals, it was all so interesting to me.
He glanced at her, up and down, before looking towards the window to stare out into Pentagram City.
Husker was quite an interesting fellow. He liked to gamble, and I love to win. Oh, but we have so much fun together. I would consider us great acquaintances. Hence why he was so eager to help out at the hotel.
She slumped, unsure of where to go from here. He was sure to talk in circles, hide things when necessary, but push for a subject that involved him almost bragging about his deathly accomplishments.
So, you mentioned earlier, Charlie finally started, that you have been feeling, what is it, domestic music?
It was the least lethal and hateful thing they had shared yet.
What would your ideal life be like?
I continue my broadcasts, continue my hunts,
Alistair stated,
and simply indulge in what I want.
And what is it you want?
Crimson eyes turned slitted with intrigue as they focused directly on her.
Charlie,
he said carefully before continuing,
do you think you could come here?
Charlie reluctantly set her notepad and pen aside and approached him meekly. His eyes would follow her, slowly raising upwards as she came closer, him not moving an inch.
Oh, how cute,
Alistair teased.
Do you always do what you're told?
How mean-spirited. Immediately she scoffed.
What are you doing? This is a session and you're making it into some kind of point?
Of course he was.
Please, you're taking this as an insult,
Alistair said, lax in his tone.
I like how you listen to me so intently. You look at me like you can really see something. It's adorable.
You know how much I'm relying on you, Charlie whispered. You don't need me to say it.
Alistair raised an eyebrow.
To gamble all your wit onto a deranged soul such as mine. I can only respect that sort of risk.
She stared at the floor.
You're a lonely girl, and you happen to be trapped in a cage with something that finds interest in you. Of course you'll walk right into the beast's mouth.
She froze.
It's all warm and cozy in there for you. How could you reject that, little princess?
Fuck you, Alistair,
Charlie whispered, turning her back to him. She should really learn by now about him. Why did she even think he could be turning a little bit?
Just a little? To have a real, genuine spark with her?
Oh, Charlie.
Alistair sighed out as if he was treating a child's tantrum and not anything too serious.
You know I like to push your buttons, dear, to keep you on your toes. I mean, the world is quite cruel.
His voice sounded from below her, yet she could only imagine him looking down at her.
Take it as a lesson. I'm only doing you a favor.
How many favors will you do for me without me asking for them? You push me into danger and continuously, yank me out. It's suffocating. It's just a game to you. It's not for me.
Clothing shuffled behind her, and she could feel his presence linger behind her form.
So feisty.
Alistair rasped behind her, and she could feel his hand slowly slide along her hips.
You've got quite a temper there, girl.
She squeezed her eyes shut and tried to ignore his lingering touch.
Why are you touching me?
He just about giggled behind her, planting his chin back on her shoulder and wrapping his arms around her, effectively caging her in.
It's endearing.
Another intimate position from him. Charlie found her face turn hot, unable to keep angry at him. Her heart beginning its run in her chest.
What? You want to squeeze me like before?
Quite so.
She stopped herself from shaking under his touch, the sensation from the night before returning.
Oh, what was it you said earlier? You put me back, and you'll be alone?
Charlie didn't like how much he knew about her, but she didn't know about him. Angel Dust's echoes of him seeing her as more of a pet than a person gave her a cold wake.
What's your point with this? What do you want from me?
Alistair only gave a rumble in his throat, trying to ease her tipping temperament by gently swaying them back and forth.
Dear, your cause breaks my heart. I would never try to leave you alone.
He eased, quiet with his words as if he knew it would work.
As you see potential in me, I see it in you.
His closeness vibrating against her.
You are so much more than Lucifer's spawn. You could do so much more.
That's what I'm trying to do.
He hummed, his finger rolling circles around her belly. It tickled.
Has your daddy ever taught you how to utilize your power properly? Or shall I take that torch?
I don't want to use my powers for violence,
Charlie stated, watching below as his hands rubbed along her body aimlessly. Why was she just letting him do this?
I don't know what you want, Alistair, but I don't think I can give you it.
Oh, but you are, and you will,
he whispered, and it resembled a threat. Charlie felt it again, that familiar thump in her ribs. She was having a hard time deciphering fear from whatever was next, as Alistair's hands were doing sickly sweet motions as his words were laced with something bitter. He seemed to sense his shock in her, and he chuckled against her neck.
Darling, I do wonder why you grabbed me last night.
I was confused,
she stated, calming her nerves.
You didn't push me away,
he said.
No.
How far are your limits, princess, I wonder?
He grinned.
An experiment I would most like to try.
Her stomach fluttered with a sort of light sensation that had her successfully pull away from Alistair. She wrapped her arms around herself, finding the room grow in temperature. Anxiously, she twisted at her hair, staring at the flooring and trying to get herself together. She didn't need more conflicting feelings about Alistair. However, when she glanced behind to finally meet his eye, he had a sultry sort of smirk on his face. It's as if he was enjoying her squirm underneath his stare and touch.
If it helps,
he drawled, a playful tint to his voice.
I most enjoyed the small taste you bestowed me.
She was doomed. He knew what he was doing. He wanted to see how far she'd break. Would she? The clock began to chime behind them. Charlie felt relief that their session was over, even if she was excited for it to begin before. She was quick to turn the sound off and grabbed her things.
Well,
she stammered out, planting her palm against her eyes, and the feverish heat of her skin burned.
That's that.
What a great session. I felt like we really got somewhere with that one,
Alistair's chuckle was a menace to her ears at that moment.
Who knows how far we'll get in our next one? And when would that be, Princess?
He approached her, and her legs hit against the chair to avoid him getting closer. Charlie swallowed. Hard.
I'll have to think about it.
She moved her notebook to hide the bottom portion of her face as he leaned towards her.
There's a lot we need to get done, so...
Alistair grinned.
Lovely. Well, I will be busy.
He patted her head before heading towards the door.
Ta-ta, Charlie. Have a wonderful night.
The door shut. She didn't know how long she remained frozen there in silence. It seemed to be minutes passing by, her mind empty, before she collapsed onto her knees and took big gulps of air. Charlie moved to clutch her stomach, where Alistair had touched most fervently, and ached. He really pissed her off, and yet she couldn't get enough of him. To crack his code was sounding impossible, but she wasn't one to back down from a challenge. Neither was he, evidently. Charlie gave a quiet, tired laugh. Another obstacle in her way. It was inevitable at this point. She would just continue to jump over them as she always did. That was what she did best.